This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in, middle of the week edition of Sabres Live. You want some foreshadowing or advance warning right now, Marty?
Yeah, give me the advance warning. I'll talk to you about some advance warning I didn't get yesterday, but that's okay.
This comes from the self-deprecation file.
Okay.
So this is a public service announcement to our audience. How many times am I going to be on the air in the next 6 days?
Once.
Once is the correct answer.
Yeah, it's going to be Friday. Yeah, tomorrow you're
I'm not available.
You're not available, so that's good. And then Friday you'll be on. Saturday, Sunday, weekend, Monday, Tuesday next week we're off. So we won't see you until next Wednesday after
that. And so you're off as well on the Monday, Tuesday. And this all stems from, remember yesterday I started the show and I said, you know, Monday was so bad, we need to atone for, you know, how poor we performed.
I still don't know what atone means, but that's okay.
Yeah, well, we try to set a tone and we didn't. So what actually is, you know, we haven't done Mondays for a long time. We had a couple of Mondays in a row. The bosses said, these guys are terrible on Mondays. We need to stop the Monday train here as soon as possible. So,
and Tuesday has been like a Monday, so we can't redo Monday on Tuesday. So we're going to start on Wednesday next week. That's the way it goes. Okay, so that's good foreshadowing. I just want to let you know that I laugh like this is me. This is who I am, right? Yesterday, I'm still getting it this morning. I'm getting absolutely destroyed on social media, mainly X, because of a comment I made on TSN yesterday about Team Canada starting Jordan Binnington over Aiden Hill. And I laugh. Like last night going to bed, I was reading some of the comments and I'm like, this is comical. This is what people feel like they should do with their 45 seconds or a minute. And then I got playing in my head, like the character of this guy. Let's call him Joe. Joe is probably trying to write a response to my thing. And then he's deleting it. And then he's writing it. And let's see, he loses 45 minutes of his life trying to write the perfect response to me, knowing that I'm kind of laughing and being entertained by it on the other end. So that was my night and this and morning. It's pretty funny.
I thought you were going to do the Joe voice.
Oh, Marty, you were a career backup. You're going after a Stanley Cup winner. Way to go, Byron.
Thank you for playing along. That's exactly what it's supposed to sound like.
But I love it. I think it's, look, What is doing what we do if it's not about having strong opinions and kind of go sometimes against current? I'm not doing it for clicks. I really felt like Aiden Hill should be the starter for Team Canada. We talked to Michael Leone yesterday, and now I get maybe more of why the decision of John Cooper. Like Binnington's a gamer. Binnington's he's got maybe a little higher ceiling. What up? Like that was the thing, but I felt Hill should have been the guy.
But who really should have been the guy if they hadn't had to go through this exercise timing-wise the way they did?
At the end of November? Like, they would be three different goalies.
Right. Sitting here as a Canadian who was taking part in Hockey Canada teams, events previously, are you sitting here going, this is really, like, poorly designed in the sense that they had to build the roster then, couldn't make adjustments now. Like, how do you view, we haven't spent a ton of time on this, and I really want to spend more time talking Sabres and
what's to
come here, like, you know, after the break, trade deadline, all that. We've been trying to invite, engage a bigger conversation on this this week and next, despite limited shows, because it's super important, obviously. Yep. But I didn't really ask what ideally the timeline should have been for building rosters and exceptions and last minute additions and things like that. Because you just said there should be, could be three different Canadian netminders at this point.
I think if you are saying who are the three best Canadian goalies in the National Hockey League right now, you would say Logan Thompson, Mackenzie Blackwood, Darcy Kuemper. That probably would be your 3-0 of goaltender. Instead, you have Jordan Binnington on a team that's middling, you know, not going to be a playoff team most likely. You had Sam Montembeau on one of, you know, the teams that have really struggled of late. And you got Aiden Hill, who has been very hot or cold, or I won't even say hot or cold. It's just been like average for Aiden Hill. We've seen better from Aiden Hill. But Aiden Hill won a cup 2 years ago. Jordan Binnington won a cup in 19. And, well, maybe Montembeau early in the season was a better option than Kuemper in LA and Mackenzie Blackwood, who was in San Jose before getting to Colorado. So you're right. I feel like picking December 2nd maybe doesn't allow you, especially when it comes to goaltending, to pick the best options. USA, it was easy. Tatra Demko was injured. You pick your three best guys. That's fine. Sweden and Finland, it's easy because there's not that many of them in the National Hockey League that you're kind of picking, you know, 75% or 80% of your goalies in the National Hockey League. Mm-hmm. But with Team Canada, it was a lot harder, and I felt like it. But what else were they supposed to do? Pick them, you know, February 1st when the tournament is 2 weeks later and then everybody's scrambling to get it done. Like, I just feel like there was no perfect scenario. You get what you get and you move on.
Right. Which, for
like
me,
with Tate Thompson is the same thing. Like, I bet you that if it had been now, they're probably picking Tage instead of Chris Kreider or Brock Nelson or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it just probably Tage is on that team, but you pick December 1st, and you probably felt like, okay, we're going to go in a different direction. But I think right now, Tage would have been a lock on the team.
Yeah, those ones are interesting. I mean, roles come into it, and not just totals. But what I was going to say about, you know, the no perfect scenario here, this is why I struggle with in-season stopping the game, doing something like, if it's in late August or early September, we're not looking at the three goaltenders' stats over the past 2 months. They were picked. They were the choices. They're valid. And we start without interrupting anything.
Yes.
And that's why we run into this. Now, I guess it's great fodder, whatever. And next year it's the Olympics, so it's completely different. But you, now correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't, apologies here, but I haven't given a lick of thought to the Olympics, but like
the Olympics next year, but yes.
But like, do you essentially run into the same issue? You do, right?
You're,
like,
you're probably picking your team. I remember Team USA in 2006 for the Torino Olympics. I remember Ryan Miller
won
got
by
hurt.
Sweden, by the way.
What was that?
Won by Sweden, by the way.
Won by Sweden and Henrik.
This is a lifetime ago for some people. Like when you're, you, so the,
what
a lot
an
of people
accomplishment
that wouldn't even
for
remember
Team
that.
Sweden that was. Like, remember, 98 was Czechia, Czech Republic, Dominik Hasek. 2002 was Canada. That was in Salt Lake City. 2006, Sweden with Lundqvist.
Against Finland.
Won.
Unbelievable.
And this was the first time we'd seen Lundqvist in North America because he had just joined the Rangers in 2005, 2006 after the lockout. So he kind of came through the scene, took the job from Kevin Weeks, by the way. Weeks, he was his goalie partner in New York, was supposed to be the starter. And then, boom, right, the Olympics. But I remember, so Ryan Miller got injured the morning of that fateful Ottawa 10-4 loss where they had the double 4 goals, right, that I played and Mikko Noronen played. So Millsy gets hurt early November. He's going to be back in about 6 weeks. When he returned to action right before Christmas, he wanted to play because he wanted to show Team USA, I'm ready to go. Because Millsy may have been on that team. Mm-hmm. And right that weekend that Ryan came back, they announced Team USA. So it was a little later. It was right before Christmas. But it still was middle of... Looking back now, Ryan Miller would have been on that team. If he's not injured, he's on that team. The way that he played, the run to the conference finals, everything. Like, Millsy's on that team. But again, they picked in mid-December as opposed to maybe mid-January.
So, anyway, they, you know, we have a 2010, Canada wins that. Yep. And again, we're just sitting in this world where, yes.
And 14, so she was the last one with NHL players at those events.
Right. So as far as tonight is concerned, make it Sabre-related, right?
I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, right? He's the only one on the ice. So you're watching Sweden.
What's your big thing tonight? Like, are you...
I want to see what role they use him in.
If Canada lose, like, whoever... What do you think it's going to take to make the final? Like, what do you think the record is going to be of the two teams that advance to the final? And keep in mind...
I'm almost thinking
it's a 3-2-1 point system, despite the fact the NHL seemingly hates the 3-2-1, but they've chosen to go with it here.
They kind of have no choice to go with it because you're hoping that you are going to get maybe a point separation. Like, three teams could be 2-1 at the end of it, and Finland could be 0-3.
Why, so for all 100 of a sudden years, we've had goal differential. That's what it comes down
to. That's what it is. So you're hoping that maybe there's an overtime and a regulation game that separates the three. I think that's exactly what we're going to get, and it's going to be a disaster, okay? Because Canada, USA, and Sweden are probably going to be 2-1. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Team Sweden beat Canada tonight and then lose to the U.S. and beat Finland. And the U.S. beats Sweden and Finland, lose to Canada. Canada beats USA and Finland, lose to Sweden. Like, it could easily happen. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, how do we pick two teams? Right? So that's why they did the 3-2-1 point system. Mm. But wouldn't that be the worst if you went to goal differential and all of that to
decide? No, I would like it more, actually.
Because you would we'd talk more about it.
I mean, it's you know, to say I grew up on it might be overstating it, but it was a thing. Like, it was part of my fascination with stats as a kid. Because you knew that in micro moments, whether it was like something you were involved in playing or, you know, whatever, you became accustomed to learning about it, that point differential, goal differential mattered, right? And whether it did or
not. Talk to anybody in youth hockey, that's all it is. You go to a youth tournament, there's like 32 teams in the tournament. You have your four-team division, and you need to be top two to advance. And now the second and third place team is tied. And it's not goal differential somehow, it's goals against. Somehow in the bylaws, in the first tiebreaker is goals against. And you thought all tournament it was going to be goal differential. So you won a game 11-5 and you're thinking we're plus six. No, you gave up five goals. You're at a distance. It's like everybody that's in youth hockey knows that these things happen all the time. The World Juniors used to be like that back in the days. It used to be a round robin.
That's you why played, the scores were as high as they were.
Because you had to make sure that if you were going to be Canada and USSR were going to be tied for first and playing in the last game, and maybe it's a tie. Well, we have the goals differential. You don't. We can play for the tie. You can't. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm still not sure Canada needed to beat Norway 48-0 back in the 40s, I think. But, you know, like, I think that's a little excessive, but whatever.
They didn't. No. Did Canada and the Soviet need to beat the crap out of them when they had the brawl with Theo Fleury on the ice? Know, and then they both got disqualified?
So, Dahlin specific, like, what are you expecting here? What Rasmus Dahlin will blank at the Four Nations face-off to get us back on topic. I thought we had actually outgrown all these daily topics, Producer Jeff. I didn't know we were revisiting them all here during our extended
To bring it on Monday. We got to bring it on Wednesday, Duffer. We got to definitely have some stuff.
This is allegedly a fill-in-the-blanks Wednesday, and we are trying to fill in the blank for Rasmus Dahlin, and Rasmus will blank at the Four Nations face-off. What do you think? And we obviously want input as well.
The word that I'm thinking is fly. Rasmus Dahlin will fly at the Four Nations faceoff. Here's the thing. He's right now being paired with Gus Forsling of the Florida Panthers. Like, we think of Gus Forsling last year coming out party season, playoffs. Everybody was talking and raving about Gus Forsling and how good it is. But I think with Dahlin, this is going to be one that he may be playing a different role. Like, the way they have their defense pair with Team Sweden, Hedman is on, you know, a top pair with Brodin. You got Dahlin with Forsling. You got Ekholm with Carlson. So I'm saying this is green light for Dahlin to fly all over the ice. Forsling's going to stay back. Forsling's going to, you know, be the defensive-minded guy, and Dahlin can just create offensively, join the rush. I think we are going to see Dahlin fly. Now, will he be a top power play guy? Or is that Carlson? Or is that maybe Hedman? Will Dahlin play on the side? There's still some question mark. Like, that could change it within the tournament. But I think he'll be fun to watch. I think this is going to be we've seen what Dahlin can do the last little bit here. You know, even in his last game in Nashville, Lindy Ruffson, that was Dahlin's best game of the season. I think he's energized by the tournament and he'll be flying.
You kind of blurted it out there. Did you mean it? That you think Sweden could? Obviously, they could. Anybody can win. Remember, months ago, when we went through this exercise of unveiling the rosters, like I said, Finland will win. Of course, they don't have Heiskanen now, and I'm very concerned about their defense corps in totality, but I'm still not against what their group and their goaltending is capable of. So, you know, I haven't written them off to the extent that others have, but I mean, if I'm pushing you on this, what's that?
I just said they were going to go 0-3. Yeah. Maybe I've written them off. You're not there yet.
Yeah. I think I like to separate my opinion from yours when possible, but okay. Push is coming to shove. Who wins tonight? Canada, Sweden.
I think this is maybe the opportunity Sweden has to start the tournament with a surprise, right? And I think it's a very clear possibility. If Sweden gets a really good performance from potential starter Filip Gustavsson, he's been picked over Linus Olmark to start the game tonight. I think what we could see is that all of a sudden it's a 0-0 game, a 1-1 game into, you know, late in the second, early third, and Canada's a little bit like, what the heck is going on, right? Like, we should be dominating this. Team Sweden has a lot of firepower. Willie Nylander, Rickard Rakell, who's had a really strong month and a half with Pittsburgh, Adrian Kempe, Philip Forsberg, Elias Pettersson, Zibanejad, Erik Sinek, Lucas Raymond, Jesper Bratt. Like, that's your top nine. And that's really strong. So I think I saw a quote today from Victor Hedman and saying, this is the most individual skills we've had on a Team Sweden in many, many, many years. I'm not surprised. I think Sweden, I wouldn't put money on it, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to say Sweden wins 3-1 in an empty net.
Nice. I hope so.
I would make for... Listen, with Canada losing in the quarters again this year at the World Juniors, if Canada loses to Sweden tonight, they may shut down the country tomorrow and have that summit, have that hockey summit. What's wrong with Canada?
And who would lead it? And who would lead it?
Well, I saw news yesterday that Hockey Canada is going to name a general manager and a president of hockey operations for the World Juniors, the Spengler Cup, like somebody that's going to have a job, a 12-month out-of-the-year job to lead it the right direction.
We'll save that one for another day. What other Sabre-related things are on your mind?
Ron McLean would lead it, you know, because Ron McLean would want to lead it. Anybody that's been in Canada and watching Hockey Night in Canada for years, they know that Ron McLean would probably be the one to say it. So what else Sabres related? Well, do I want to see what?
Here, let me encourage you.
I'm trying to look at the angle of who would be available. Like Elias Pettersson, is he still available? Do I want to watch Team Sweden to see what Elias Pettersson can do away from the Vancouver Canucks and the toxic environment that it's been? What if he goes out and lights it out?
He did have a big finish in his final game. Like, everything around him as the NHL hit pause was positive.
Yes.
He apparently, you know, kind of broke his silence, came out of his shell a little bit from a media standpoint, had a terrific game against Toronto. There just seemed to be a peace, finally, with Pettersson.
Yeah, well, the only goal he has scored in the last month was the game against Buffalo, right? And that's the only goal that he scored. He's still not scoring. He should be a goal scorer. So I know he's played better, but I want to see if he is a goal scorer. Put in that situation, playing the middle, of the second line for Team Sweden.
Well, one thing to remember, though, even without his typical production, Vancouver, I think, very quietly, has gone 6-1-1 in the last eight, winning three in a row. And in those six wins in the last eight, they've given up six goals.
Yeah.
Six. So, like, they've punted Calgary temporarily from that last wild card spot, and this is like, that's why I can't imagine that there's any change in Elias Pettersson's future moving forward. It's done. It's behind him. It's behind them. The team is where they expected to be, even with another latest wrinkle with Demko leaving due to injury prior to the last, you know, in the last week. So
Vancouver could be third in a week.
Of course they could, yes.
They could be third in the Pacific Division. They're 2 points behind L.A. Mm-hmm. And all season it was Edmonton, Vegas, L.A., Edmonton, Vegas, L.A., top three in the Pacific. And all of a sudden Vancouver could be there. Yeah, they're where they want to be. Okay, let's think that the eight teams in the West are going to be the eight team. Calgary, you had a good run, but you're out.
Mm-hmm.
Is Vancouver saying, we've already traded J.T. Miller? Are we trading Elias Pettersson and thinking it's making us better?
No.
But I want to see what he looks like with Team Sweden to see, should anybody make a big pitch? Should the Sabres make a big pitch saying, we're going to take a big swing at Elias Pettersson? I want to see what he looks like.
Blank will be the Sabres name to watch as the trade deadline approaches.
Oh, can I have two? Can I have double blanks?
Take mine.
I think it is going to be Cousins, obviously, name to watch. And I think it is going to be a hyphenated Byron Power. And I'm saying that because I don't think the Sabres are interested in moving from Owen Power. I think everything that we've talked and heard, even Lindy Ruff the other day, he was talking about Tyler Myers, how he remembers a day where Tyler Myers showed up, maybe it was after year two, right? And he looked over to Lindy and he says, I don't have my man strength yet, but I feel like it's coming. I think Owen Power is in that same boat. Like, he's big and strong, but he doesn't have his man strength yet. Like, his grown man, his adult strength.
Well, keep in mind, Tyler Myers was traded.
Tyler Myers was traded, but that was something that always stuck with Lindy as that conversation. And I get it. Tyler Myers was traded to, you know, Winnipeg to get Evander Kane and Zach Bogosian, and there was a big trade. I think it was this week that it happened. It was in early February. And Evander Kane was hurt for the rest of the year. It wasn't a trade to say, let's get better. It was more of a trade for futures and whatnot. But so I think Dylan Cousins is one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
As the Sabres are, you know, putting their roster together now, you got Yuri Kulik 1C. You got McLeod playing 2C. You got Cousins that was playing third line center, a little bit on the wing. I think it's been dropping. So Cousins is to watch. And then one of Byram and Power. And we talked about it, Byram signing them, extending them. But I think it's hard to move on in the future with Darlene, Power, Byram, and think that you've got, you know, 20-some million dollars allocated to three defensemen. I think there's an option to kind of get something that is going to make you a better club down the road?
Yeah, I don't have those same concerns monetarily with three defensemen. To me, it's almost how you would dream it. Like, I want three really, really, really good defensemen. If I can have half of my defense corps every night that I think are, and again, this goes back to our summer conversation. Mm-hmm. What if Dahlin, Byram, and Power all trend over 40 points? At one point I said 50, that's unrealistic, but still 40 for all of them is possible. Well, what's happened? They haven't got the production from the forwards. They haven't.
You need to address that.
But they're still top 11 in the league in scoring, even with me saying that. That's the crazy part, right? They've had a huge push from the blue line. I think that's important for them moving forward. But can they add, ignite, infuse a little bit more offense from the top group? The Amerks continue to score. We'll talk about them later on in the show. Another big win last night for them in Cleveland, and still 3-3 this weekend to come. Blank, before we break and talk to Rich Dereller from our community relations department coming up. Blank is the next Sabre to receive a contract extension.
Oh, well, obviously, I think that the obvious one here would be Bo Byram, if that is something that the Sabres feel like they have to do. If they got the numbers right, where they feel comfortable, I would think that Bo Byram would be the guy. I have really liked Ryan McLeod, but I think McLeod may say, hey, I'm an RFA, I can kind of take my time here, but I've really liked Ryan McLeod and the fit here in Buffalo. So if I was to pick, I'm going to say Byram over McLeod. I think when it comes to Quinn and Peterka, who both need a contract after this year, I think that's going to take a lot longer. But my first thought is Byram first, McLeod second, when you look at contract extension.
All right. On that note, we will take our first break and remind you that coming up here in Black History Month, Sabres are going to have Black History Celebration to unite our community. It's people celebrating Black excellence throughout the Sabrehood and beyond. And this game comes up against Anaheim on February 25th. It's Tuesday night. Look forward to seeing you there at KeyBankSabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Sabres Live continues after this.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling right along here on this Wednesday, as promised, our VP of Community Relations, Rich Dereller, is with us because we are less than a month away from the next Road Crew event. Rich, this is an impressive, I don't know, have you gotten better at like soliciting the alumni over the years? Like, this is an impressive list.
Yeah, it's a good list. Well, we're you know, when we do them down in Florida, there's so many guys that live down there. It's easy. You know, Tampa last year, I think we had six or seven that were right there. And, you know, the other coast where we'll be this year is very similar. So it's nice. It's an easy state. You know, Danny is going to come over from Tampa, and Donnie Edwards is coming over from I think he's in Estero, which is on the West Coast, and it's a quick drive, you know. So, yeah, it's a good list. We're excited.
We had a surprise guest last year, and Scotty Bowman showing up to the event and sitting down, taking pictures, signing autographs. It was awesome. Obviously, we did have Darren Pupa and Dave Andrechuk was there, and John Tucker, and it was a great event. So, like, how do you plan ahead for surprises every year or make sure that the list grows and that the fans, because a lot of the fans that go, they come back every year because it's so much fun, but you got to give them a little something different year to year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, we're still working on the surprise, I guess, for this year. Scotty was a sort of a last minute thing. And again, it was another guy who lives there. He's up here, you know, most of the summer, I believe, but you know, when the weather's cold, he's down south, and it was great to have him there. And he really, I think, had as much fun as anybody did who was at the event. So we'll try and pull something off like that for this year. We have, I can't announce it yet though.
We can't announce it yet. Thank you, Rich. Thank you for keeping us on the line here. I love that.
Yeah.
Give us, just tell us about the night. Like, where are we going to be at in Lauderdale, and just, timing of it and all the rest. So
sure. It was March 7th. So we're against the Panthers on the 8th, right? And so we'll be at a place called The Wharf, which I think it's relatively new. Anybody down in Florida that we had relationships with that we asked, you know, where should we go with the event? It was the first on everybody's list. It's a big entertainment venue, I guess. And I've never been there, but it's pretty massive, and we've got our own space within it. It's right on the water, and it sounds like the place to be. You know, so we're excited. The party will go from 6 to 8. You know, it's a big happy hour for anybody who isn't familiar with it. You know, the alumni are coming out. Duffer, you and Razor and Dan will be there, among others. And it's just a lot of fun. Anytime you put that many Buffalonians in a room together, you know, it's a good time. And we're really looking forward to getting down there, especially after, you know, the weather we've been enjoying up here. It'll be nice to catch a break from it.
I'm actually online right now looking at pictures on the actual place, the location, The Wharf, and it's fantastic. What a patio, lots of room, lots of good scenery. So I think it's going to be awesome. But also, like when you go to a Road Crew event, there's trivia, there's prizes. You guys come down with a lot of things. Like, how many boxes of supplies do you come down with to make sure that there's enough in prizes for the whole evening?
Well, we ship it all now because it got so hard to check it all on the plane. So we'll send it down a few days in advance. But yeah, we always have a custom designed T-shirt that is specific to the party that year. We've got a very much a Florida themed color, I will say, you know, which I think people will like. And we like to make it fun. Dufford and you have always done a wonderful job with the trivia and. You know, it's just, again, trying to provide some things to folks that, although many will be from Buffalo that go down there because of the time of year, but just, you know, a lot of expats and Sabres fans that just, you know, they don't get to the games as much because they're not up here anymore. So it's fun to kind of bring it to them, and we try and make sure everybody leaves with something.
Oh, we pretty much guarantee they'll leave with something. The trivia is rarely fact based, so you know, I do my best to try to make it very spontaneous. I will say I might be a little more challenged this year without having my, you know, you normally say right hand guy, but Marty, you sit on my left, so my left hand guy, you know,
I'm sad me. I'm not going to be there, and I know I don't want to spoil the party and say, listen, I'm not going to be there. You're going to have a fun time even if I'm not there, but you know, it falls on March 7th, which is trade deadline day, and I'm busy that day trying to break trades and have, you know, scoops and all of that, but that's what it is. Although, I think one of the trivia questions, I'm going to give everybody that's listening the edge. One of the trivia questions should be, how many penalty minutes did Rob Ray end up at the end of his career? Because we all know now, as Bradmay pointed out in his speech, 3,207 penalty minutes is the total in regular season for Rob Ray. So that should be a question, Duffer. And everybody that's listening to the show will have the advantage because they already know the answer.
Okay. Well, you might have just forced me to work harder in coming up with more trivia questions.
Who is Rich, older, Duffer or me? That's the every year question.
That's a good question.
Favorite one, Marty, was in Vegas one year, and you grabbed the mic and you took the trivia moment and said, how many hours of sleep does Duffer get per night?
Yes.
In Vegas or in Buffalo?
No, in general. And the answer was 3.5. And we had somebody get it right away, and it was like, yes.
You only sleep 3.5 hours a night?
It ebbs and flows. Sometimes I get 4, Rich.
In Vegas, he gets about 6 or 7 because he's tired. But everywhere else, he gets 3.5.
Hey, Rich, real quick, what else is coming up here from the community relations side?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe we're already almost mid-February, right? So we've got a couple great things. The team's gone on the break, but we've got Tuck and Darlene are hosting the captain's crew, Learn to Play Skate on the 24th here with some new young players that we're excited about. We've got some things working with some players in the Best Buddies program that they're going to be playing some Lasertron type activities with the kids in that program. So we're trying to pack in as much stuff, before we get to the trade deadline, which is usually, as you all know, sort of the cutoff point in the season. But we will be announcing soon, maybe next week, the return of Ryan Miller's catwalk for charity event. And it's going to be great. It's really, really excited to start talking about it. I can't yet, but it is coming in April. Millsy will be back. He's coming to get inducted into the Amherst Hall of Fame on April 11th. And I think it's going to be great to have him around and to have this event, to help raise money for his endowment fund, which benefits the kids at Courage of Carly over at Roswell. So really good stuff. I mean, we still got a lot to cram in here, as we get to this time of year, but, looking forward to it and looking forward to seeing everybody, hopefully down in Fort Lauderdale, get a little sun and fun.
I'm excited for the Ryan Miller event. Last year was great to have everybody back in town and do it. And, we all had outfits that were designed by the kids. It was fun. And I know that I think this year it's going to be a little different, but yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, the reason why I'm wearing my Amherst stuff right now is because, not spoiling it, but I was doing a little video beforehand for Millsy's induction to the Amherst Hall of Fame, which is on the 11th, as you pointed out. It's going to be awesome. So that whole week, I think that we're going to have a lot of fun with some guys back in town and the games in Buffalo and the games in Rochester and the event as well. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
Rich, thank you, as always.
How much sleep will you get that week, Rich? That's what we want to know, because you're usually in charge of making sure all the alumni are good. So is it going to be under or over 3.5?
Duffer might beat me. We'll see.
VP of fun in conjunction with his official title with the Sabres. Rich, thank you so much.
Yeah, see you guys. Thanks.
Sabres Road Crew coming up. It is on March the 7th. It's in Fort Lauderdale. Tickets, as mentioned, available now, sabres.com/roadcrew. Pierre Turgeon, Jim Lorenz, Jerry Korab, Danny Gare, Don Edwards, Razor, long list of alumni. Can't wait to see you there. sabres.com/roadcrew. Back after this.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling right along, as promised, a quick update on yesterday's, I would say, significant talking point, which was the Amherst, because we had Coach Michael Leone on the show. They're rolling. They're, doing so many good things. And yes, in the coach's words, it's winning hockey. And boy, was that on display again last night in Cleveland. Save for a little Levi puck handling misadventure early on, which put them down 1-0. Marty, this team was so solid last night, line after line after line. They were constantly in the right position. They got bounces off the end boards like this that caused Jet Greaves all sorts of problems. Nick Obey-Kubel scored on 2 breakaway opportunities, making it look incredibly easy. They played without Graham Slagert, the league leader in shorthanded goals, because they have so many veterans and so much depth right now. You have to mix and match. At the end of it all, Rosane
still scored a shorthanded goal.
Yes, Kozak got the shorthanded goal on a nice feed from Wahlberg. The only blemish, if you were looking, for one, would have been the power play. It went 0-5, but they've won 6 in a row. They are in a tremendous position right now, both confidence-wise, health-wise, standings-wise, and they'll have 3-3 this weekend, including home games Friday and Sunday.
Well, now when you look at the league standings, right, and you're looking at it and you're saying, Rochester's a point back of Laval. They're going to play on Sunday, but Rochester also plays Friday, Saturday. They could put themselves 4 or 5 points ahead of Laval.
Laval plays tonight, too, though.
So. Well, Laval could lose tonight, and then you get a chance to go 5 points up, and that's the way that my glass is always half full. But I looked at, the way Rochester played and the way Michael Leone talked about their energy level, Like in the third period, they took over the game. And that is, to me, how you got to do it. They only gave up three shots to Cleveland in the third period. Michael Leone says, yeah, you know what? We've studied, you know, a lot of things like morning skates and the effect of it, especially in the AHL when you play Friday, Saturday, Sunday a lot. How do you conserve energy? We don't morning skate. And we feel like we have more jump in the third period. We feel like we're better. Oh, that was an example yesterday, you know, giving up only three shots in the third period, having the puck the whole time, shorthanded breakaway, a shorthanded goal, I should say, not breakaway. Roseanne with his 24th of the year, second in the AHL. It was a perfect game. Perfect game for Michael Leone and his group to be able to get a 5-1 win in Cleveland.
Yeah, and again, the assumption would be with 3-3 this weekend that we'll see Levi twice. So that would be Friday and Sunday. We'll see how it plays out. Hauser, of course, was backing up last night, but one would expect that Sandstrom would get the middle game this weekend in Utica. So we'll see how it plays out. Sandstrom himself is riding a terrific winning streak in his own right and honestly has been much, much, much better than I would have anticipated based on how the season started for him. So, you know
that's last year went. Like, I didn't think he played well last year with Allentown or, you know,
Lehigh Valley.
Yeah. So they use. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't think he was that good last season. They signed him. He's a veteran. He's played an NHL game. So you've got him as a number four. But he's given Devin Levi good support. But it also – it didn't take away from what is Levi's goal. Levi's goal is to play three out of four. You get four this week. Levi's playing 3 out of 4. And there's no drop off when Sandstrom is going in the net.
All right. You've been getting some good answers on X in regards to our fill in the blanks today. And, you know, some of the questions that we asked in the opening half hour, especially like, you know, kind of names in the news, which Sabre, if you will, is, you know, going to be the name to watch as the trade deadline approaches. We also asked Blank, is the next Sabre to receive a contract extension? Yeah. Play off of that, if you would.
Okay, so, I mean, this is an interesting comment by Jake here. He says, look, players to watch as we approach the trade deadline. He says, Cousins, but whether he does or doesn't move will be big news. Like, if he doesn't move, how do you move on with Dylan Cousins? If he moves, that's a big move as well. So that's a big talking point. He mentioned Samuelson, maybe be one that could be on the move. If you think you move on with Dallin Power and Bo Byram and you have Connor Clifton and maybe you add to the group, I don't know if Samuelson fits in that group. Maybe he fits as a third pair defenseman, but you know, if you're getting calls, maybe you're looking at that. So hopefully not Byram and Greenway. That was from Jake. Other things, Rasmus Dahlin will blank at the Four Nations. You got Dominate. You got Eat Poutine, which I'm sure they'll have hot dogs and poutine in Montreal before they move to Boston. You know, there's a lot of good, I think, that can come out of Rasmus Dahlin playing and playing at a high level in this tournament. Coming back in 2 weeks and be, you know, looking around and saying, I'm the captain of this team, and I got to play on a big stage with the best players in the world, and this is where we have to go. You know, this may sound silly, but when I was with the New York Islanders in 2010, that was the Vancouver Olympics of 2010, and we all had a two-week break. And when we came back, Scott Gordon was our head coach, and he went to be an assistant coach with Team USA. And when he came back, he was a different coach. The systems were different. The approach was different. Like, he learned from that coaching staff at Team USA. And we were a better team because of that. Mm-hmm. I want to see Dahlin be able to take that same experience and flip it as the captain and make the team better because of it.
Noah Dobson has been in the news through the course of this year for, you know, having a tough year statistically. Now he's injured as well. He's also a pending RFA on the heels of what last year was one of the most incredible performances by a defenseman. He had 70 points last year as he trended in the direction of this is going to be one of the best young defensemen in the game for quite a while. Now he has switched agents, and people wonder what Dobson's future is with the Islanders. Should we be mentioning his name more as we get closer to the trade deadline?
So I was doing some Montreal radio last week, and they kept talking about Noah Dobson, Noah Dobson. I'm like, what's the fixation on Noah Dobson?
70
and
points like, last year.
That's what it is. And apparently he's in the rumor mill now that if the Islanders can't get him signed, that they may be moving on from Noah Dobson. The big thing is he's obviously, you know, a capable defenseman, 70 points last year, not so good this year, injured. He's a right-hand shot. So, our teams are going to be lining up to call the Islanders and say, what can we do to get him? Because those type of right-hand defensemen, they don't grow on trees, and we all know that very well here in Buffalo.
All right, one last one for the late-arriving crowd. What is your expectation tonight? Canada, Sweden, four nations?
I said 3-1 Sweden. Maybe I'm crazy to think that it's going to be a low-scoring game. Maybe it's a high-scoring game. Maybe it's 6-4.
Yes.
And who knows? So
I hope you're right, and I hope you get more enjoyment out of watching the game than the prediction that you just made, because that was not particularly heartfelt. We'll see you tomorrow.